Welcome to the Crude Life Podcast, a podcast that generates positive energy. My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and talk show host. And on today's episode, I interview Ben Hansen, a candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in the state of North Dakota. Now, in this exclusive interview, we talk about the Bakken, leadership reinvented, the East-West tie and conflict in the state of North Dakota, plus his family ties to the oil and gas industry. From the family out in Crosby, North Dakota, to those in Castleton that were involved with the BNSF train derailment that happened several years ago involving Bakken crude oil. All that plus much more when we sit down with Ben Hansen, candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in the state of North Dakota, in just a moment. But first, I want to take a moment to remind you good folks to please support our sponsors. Go ahead, go to thecrudelife.com, click on the sponsors page, take a look at our sponsors, see if there's anybody you know, see if there's anybody that you might want to say hello to. I'll tell you why. They keep interviews like this free, and they keep our lights on, literally. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Ben Hansen, sorry, just had to set the table a little bit here to get a few things out. Let's set the table of context.
It's an impressive spread you got here.
Thank you. It's, you know, that's sometimes we got to just take the curtain off Oz and just find out how it operates behind the scene. And you know what? This here is my official notes here about my social media audience.
Well, I was unaware of that audience. That's the most Texans I've ever talked to at once now.
And you got a lot of Texans on here. Oh, iTunes. iTunes. One more thing. We are available on iTunes. Go to The Crude Life. That's our media network, The Crude Life. Bakken.com. We've got a partnership with them of distribution and content. But where I'm coming from, Crude Life, you click on the iTunes link, it'll just download every single one. You can listen, you can not listen, that sort of thing. But I do want to give a special thanks to those dozen or so people that have continued now for the last few months to download in India. I appreciate that. Namaste. I appreciate that. That's nice. I mean, I'm going to try and figure out what's going on in India, why you're so interested in the Bakken right now. I did figure out with South America a year ago because we started selling them a lot of LNG. I'm sorry, natural gas. So I think there's something down the line here in India. So I'm going to keep you guys posted on that. People just aren't going to download this unless there's an interest because we're a very specific audience, oil and gas.
Do you have a Crude Life podcast?
Well, it's just crudelife.com and it's a podcast. This interview's on there.
Perfect.
And then it gets downloaded and then people can listen or they can, you know, and our radio shows are on there, that sort of thing. But anyway, let's talk about you. You're running for U.S. House.
That's right.
You're running against Kevin Cramer.
So far, he has yet to declare whether he's going to run against me or run for the House seat again or run in the U.S. Senate for his party's nomination against Senator Heitkamp.
Okay.
So we'll find out some political intrigue there.
Okay, and I was going to mention, I'm glad that you came on because the one thing that Congressman Cramer's done a very good job of is making himself available to the media, and so I imagine you're going to do the same.
Absolutely.
Okay, and you've done though. Like I said, he's one of five or one of six people that agreed to come on here and talk about this. Talk about your family. Talk about your oil and gas connection. Talk
sure.
about your platform. Let's just start a little bit about who you are and in the energy world.
Well, I'm originally born and raised in Fargo, North Dakota. I live here where I'm a commercial real estate broker for a local firm. It's called Archer. But I served in the state legislature in the state house for 4 years, where I was one of the caucus chairs for my caucus. That's the Democratic NPL caucus, which is short for the Nonpartisan League, which has some history in the state with some with a lot of the farmers back in the 20s and 30s, starting the state bank and state mill. My family is from all over the state. My father's side of the family comes from Crosby, North Dakota, up in Divide County, where we still have family that farms out in the Williston area. In between the Divide and Williams County line there. My grandfather was a World War II veteran that, after he came back, used the GI Bill for what it was meant for, was able to go to college, first member of our family, and was able to increase the family farm and send his kids to college off of that. He was a state senator up there, and we always got to get an earful during Thanksgiving about exactly what we're talking about today, East versus West, and people, and maybe the Red River Valley or the eastern part of the state, depending on where you want to divide up, Jamestown, Valley City, wherever, forgetting about maybe some of the more rural parts or western parts of the state, forgetting about the ranch areas and what had become subject of several boom and bust cycles in the 50s, 80s, and then again about 5-10 years ago with starting around 2009 up in the Bakken Formation and the Three Forks. My mother's side of the family comes over from the Caston area, as Jason had mentioned, where they're still farming grains and sugar beets today. My grandfather on that side of the family, I'm proud to say, helped start one of the first ever sugar beet co-ops in North America, which has now become American Crystal Sugar, as many of your North Dakota audience members will know, and members from around the listeners from around the country should know that they're the biggest sugar distributor in the world. So even if they don't, even if it's not being processed here, they probably distribute it around the country. So we're proud of that family legacy, and I have one of my cousins is a volunteer firefighter out in the Caston area, and knows the chief of the fire chief and the man who was there during that explosion when that train came through town and had to get on his hands and knees and crawl to a unlock the train to make sure that it didn't keep chain reacting.
That's great.
And that, I mean, so this is a, you know, something that's been very close to home, quite literally, for me and the rest of the folks here in North Dakota. So I'm glad to be able to shed some light on this geographic economic issue that we're talking about today to your out-of-state listeners, but also talk a little bit about what we would like to see in the future for North Dakota when we talk about, you know, an unfortunate, I agree, we've been talking, like you said, we've been talking for about 5 years now, and there's, you gave me this Wall Street Journal article that I had seen the headline of, and we have a few legislators in here too who are talking up, you know, East versus West, how are we going to do this, and is it a versus thing, or is it a partnership? And we as a state and as leaders in our state need to make it a partnership. Now those are words, but what are the actions that we're going to do to make that happen? We had a response with the surge that I voted for when I was in the House of Representatives to the Bakken. That was almost $800 million and a billion depending on which budgets you're looking at. But now we're looking at West Texas Intermediate. I saw today is up to $59 a barrel, almost.
That's good.
Right before Thanksgiving, so that's exciting. That's the highest it's been this year, and that $60 barrel is kind of that magic marker, or it was. It always seems to be a moving target about what really, you know, triggers the Bakken to start a real hiring spree, a real building spree, and we're still, you know, I saw you were talking to Mike Marcille last week about vacancy rates are starting to creep back down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is on the Bakken that housing rates have gone down, but wages haven't. So, I mean, I think Mike said the study that he did was right around, say, 9, 10, 8% of housing costs. National average is like 20, 22%. And so there's people with some extra cash out in the Bakken, but they got really nowhere other than Amazon to spend it. They have the basic necessities, but as Mike pointed out, there's not even a furniture store in Watford City. So there is right now, it's a micro boom for those quality of life things. And if you look back at a lot of the leaders in our state, whether it be Doug Burgum, whether it be Senator Hoeven, whether it be Senator Heitkamp, or even Congressman Kramer, they were talking about the push for the quality of life. And here we are. We have this quality of life. Now, let's juxtapose this a little bit with leadership, because I don't know if a lot of you folks know this or not, but when the Dakota Access Pipeline protest was happening, I was interviewed as a correspondent for the BBC World. And the reason they chose me was because they said I was the most trusted and the most neutral person that they heard and that they followed out in the Bakken, without a political leaning, without a political bend. And so I appreciate that very much, BBC World, for validating what a lot of people in the Bakken have already told me. My last trip out to the Bakken, some people are getting pretty upset at the public officials. And the reason they're getting upset is it started to crack a little bit during the Dakota Access Pipeline because of rubber bullets, shooting hoses under hypothermic temperature. And the quote I'll never forget was a guy living near the Grassy Butte area. He said, you know, it's almost like all the PR the oil industry did after the BP explosion was just wiped out. Because you had veterans from all over the country coming to protest against North Dakota. You had Hollywood coming out. And it just, it turned into one of the biggest protests in the nation in a long, long time. So that was something that they were pretty passionate about that was measurable. And then they started talking about the management of the boom-bust cycle in terms of how they spent their money, where they spent their money, and a number of different things. So then I see this come out last week as, I'm going to read the headline, as money tightens, an oil boom town fights for its share. This is something a lot of people saw coming when the billion-dollar water park was done. And I know there was debate during the airport when they moved it, that sort of thing. So there has been conversation, there has been some debate, but where a lot of the people are having some issue with is when they say there was no other choice. No other choice. No, there's been a lot of choices along the way. And now is time to actually, for leaders to step up and say, this is a problem because the surge money that we were promised didn't come. We got to go fight for it again. Now, Fargo has a big water project they want to get going. Is that going to impact our state funds at all? I know they say no, but I don't know. I mean, the governor's involved now, so I mean, anything's possible. Their new water study came out that you need 20 times more what they thought to do the Bakken. There's a number of things that have changed, is what I'm getting at. And so with the number of changes that were here, it's time to go to that next step of leadership here. And I'm glad that Ben came on to talk a little bit. And, okay, I didn't mean to set the table that much, but...
You put a lot on the table.
I did put a lot on the table.
There's a lot here.
In fact, I'll be out in Dickinson this weekend at the API Christmas party, and I'm hoping to talk some people out there too, because we want to turn this into a bridge type of a thing, because like I said, this isn't a Wall Street Journal here. The very last line in this story... What should we do? Just work and send taxes back east? That's a bold statement to make, especially when we've been spending, the oil industry has spent millions trying to educate this state, trying to bridge this state, because so much, the only job adder in the last decade is oil and gas. Technology hasn't added, all the startups, all the technology hasn't added one job. It's actually lost jobs. Manufacturing, lost jobs. Transportation, lost jobs. Oil and gas is the only industry that's added jobs. So when I see these types of things and I see the inner bickering start to happen, I got to nip this in the bud as soon as I can, because I think the state needs to work together. What do you want to tackle first?
let's tackle the whole thing. That's okay. What I think we should do if we're going to bridge the gap to the future here. You're talking about, that quote's a good quote, and I'll read it again. What should we do? Just work and send taxes back east. Mm-hmm. That has been a relevant attitude, a prominent attitude, coming from the western third of the state for a very long time, and for good reason.
So much so that when you go out west, imperial caste is a word that you hear a lot, imperial caste. You've heard that before.
And for the out-state listeners, Cass County is the most populous county here in the state, where Fargo and West Fargo are hubbed out of, where we have a lot of great topsoil, some of the best topsoil in the world that has allowed a lot of our farmers and ag industry to prosper. Mm-hmm. We're very proud of this, but there is a... resentment might be the wrong word, maybe they disagree, but the sense that they're sending their money back out east, that they're being controlled. And so when you're talking, Jason, about a bridge to the future, we need to bring all entities to the table. That means all levels of government as well. As someone who's running for a federal government position but has served in the state legislature during a time of boom, and with a family that's experienced booms and busts out there, The history of the state and the history with the oil industry, as I said, there was a large spike in the 1950s, in the late 80s, and then again here in the 2000s with people who have lived in the Bakken and Three Forks Shale formations in the northwestern part of the state and all along the western strip of the state who have seen this come and go, that aren't trusting that this is a permanent thing, even though some of the new technology that allows us to drill horizontally and some of the new ways of extracting some of the light sweet crude out of that Bakken and Three Forks formation have us predicting that this is going to be a sustainable play for quite a few decades now. And you have the governor talking about getting up to 2 million barrels a year. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think the market's going to do that, not the government. But
I think the governor's not far off, personally. But I'm interviewing the governor in the next couple of weeks exactly about that topic. So,
but I think when you're talking about bridging the gap between the East versus the West and what we've seen, the problems we've had in the past, let's take a look at what happened with the funding here. It's stop-start, back and forth. It's expansion and contraction of what a state government and a local government spends for needs out west. Now, there's always apprehension from a good chunk of people for a good reason about spending a lot of money, which tends to be taxpayer money, especially if it's coming from the government, on improvements, infrastructure, different things that mean quality of life. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of cynicism right now about a $70 million recreational building that was put in the city of Williston. A lot of people in Williston really like, really enjoy, and then there's a lot of people in the city and around the surrounding areas who take a look at that and say it was short-sighted. What I would say is the most important thing we can do as leaders on any level of the government or just community members is let's take a look at the funding. Let's all sit down and take a look at how we fund this. Right now, for instance, what I'm getting at is there is a heavy, heavy reliance on sales tax out west. Mm-hmm. Well, and this is not the crux or this is not the solution, this is a symptom. Sales tax itself is an incredibly unpredictable model in order to predict revenue for funding for the kind of things that we're talking about. And let me give you a quick example of what I am talking about. I served on the Energy Committee in the interim for all 4 years I was in the State House. We traveled all around the state interviewing and talking with sheriffs, with chiefs of police, with other community members, superintendents. But it was very interesting, whenever we talked to law enforcement, it was about crime. It was about this very abhorrent increase in sex trafficking that we have seen in the state of North Dakota that we need to be fighting on any level we can. But a lot of it was about mental health and about mm-hmm. facilities and treatment facilities for drug addiction and other mental health problems in the state. And we had the Williams County Sheriff, I'll never forget, tell the entire committee, he said, you know, thank you for the surge funding, the $800 million we passed in 2013 under Governor Dalrymple that I was happy to vote for. But thank you for the improvements that we've had out here. But he kind of got through it as quickly as he could to get to the fact that west of 85, Highway 85, there are no psychiatrists, there's no psychologists. There are barely any addiction treatment facilities.
I think Bismarck's the closest.
Exactly.
Yeah, sorry.
That they're having to send people out west. And because of the stop-start funding formula, reliance on sales tax instead of something more sustainable, we have other funds in the state, but we don't have a permanent fund that's truly serving the needs that allow us to weather the ups and downs of commodity prices. We were talking previously, just now, about the West Texas Intermediate price, the price per barrel going up to $60 a barrel right now, but that's not always been the case. It was all the way up to, how high did it top out at in 2009?
I call it 110.
I think it was, it was over 100.
Yeah, it might have been 111. In my mind, it's 110.
It dipped down to 30, though, didn't it? A couple years ago. So when you're looking at that kind of revenue intake on the price per barrel, so, and that doesn't directly pay for our taxes, but it does. It is the number one indicator of how many rigs are going to be pumping, how many wells are going to be going. And when you're taking a look at that sales tax going up and down versus how many people the oil companies are, new people the oil companies are hiring, how much new construction is happening in these areas of our state, a sustainable model brings everyone to the table, local governments, state governments, and the federal government, and both sides, geographic sides, if you want to call it an east versus west side of the state, to create a sustainable plan that everyone can be happy with. Right now, you know, these kind of comments, frankly, do not help. Saying that, you know, we've spent enough money, some of these legislators who are not from the western part of the state, saying that we've spent enough money on western North Dakota, we're going to be done now, because they put in one very, very large injection. It was one of the first votes I took in the state house, was to spend $750 million more on roads, on infrastructure, on law enforcement, on ability to hire things and give the counties assistance for, unfortunately, things like jails, which were filling up. Mm-hmm. It was a massive vote, and I was, you know, it's shocking to even think about that kind of money. Most people can't comprehend, you know, I can barely comprehend what $750 million is in a state like ours. But just because we put that in once does not mean that it was sustainable. It doesn't mean that planted a seed that's really going to help us ride out these problems in the future. That's what needs to happen. That's where leadership comes in. That's where talking and bridging that gap comes in to make sure that we can ride this out and have a plan in place for $100 barrel oil, $60 barrel oil, or $30 barrel oil. And all the regulatory and whatever other environments, whatever other requirements are coming out with it.
I just think there's a history of being off by a lot. Okay.
Budget-wise, the state of North Dakota is unfortunately...
Is that a fair statement?
Well, it's not just a fair statement. It's an accurate statement.
Okay.
We've been off by billions of dollars.
Okay.
And that does not allow
now,
you to create a sustainable prediction model.
So what I'm saying is that there was a bunch of money promised to a bunch of towns,
mm-hmm.
and that really did not get to fruition because the budget was off. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, I know that the budget, the prediction model was off. I don't know exactly who got left in the
coach.
I can't tell you the exact.
It was off. Okay. And
to the tune of $1 billion.
Right.
At the end of the 13th century.
Exactly. And then, you know, so I'm looking at this here as this different story and a few other things about, you know, nobody saw the oil industry coming. It came out of nowhere. Nobody saw them leaving. It came out of nowhere. There's a lot of kind of pointing fingers, and that's not what leaders do. Okay, that's not what leaders do. Candidate for U.S. House, Ben Hansen is with us. We're talking about the East-West Bridge, also divide. Just to kind of set the table back on here, because we have to get kicked out of this room in about 20, 15 minutes or so. This here is a Wall Street Journal article that was done talking about how towns out west are fighting for some money in the state. And we're talking about the leadership that's involved here, the leadership that's going on. And in the story, the theme is it's East versus West. I'm trying to nip at the bud because this East versus West stuff has to stop. It has to be a bridge. The state, the energy ecosystem is statewide. It's just, I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. I could go into a 3-hour thesis on you exactly why the energy industry is driving the economy for everything, including NDSU's research, UND's research, NDSU's analytics for the UAS. You want to go down to Wahpeton, to Northrop Grumman, and see what they got. I'm sorry, is that no, they up in, anyway, somebody's up in Grand Forks, somebody's out of Wahpeton. I'm all confused.
The last part there. No, actually, we should get into that, because we have a world-class geology library at EARC in Grand Forks that the state of North Dakota should be proud of, that places that formations in Texas have not been able to take advantage of their shale plays as well, because they don't have the kind of knowledge database that we have, and that's all coming from publicly funded facilities out east.
That's huge. It's called the Laird Library, and basically that's the reason the Bakken is happening. You go to Montana, they're like 30, 40 years behind us. They just started doing it like in the 90s or something like that. So, I mean, everything that's been extracted out of North Dakota since the 50s, we have on record up there. That's why these oil companies know where to drill. And it's just a price game now. It's a commodity play. Everything is price and location. And whether their crews are up and running, there is a little bit of that too. I mean, once the rigs stop, it's tough to get them going again. So
and we'd be remiss if we did not mention the invaluable work that a land-grant university like North Dakota State University can provide for things like the energy mm-hmm. industry and, of course, our ag industries as well.
So just to recap real quick, we did part of this interview, which did not go Facebook Live with technical difficulties. We've got a backup camera. It'll be on this page a little bit later. Of course, we also record every single interview for the radio programs as well, so we're going to have it there. The full-length interview will be on crudelife.com because we kind of, and probably a good idea, because we started this interview by saying not everybody's going to get a trophy. We're going to have an adult conversation because the Wall Street Journal just printed a story about the East-West divide and conflict over money, oil money, whether Williston overspent, whether they did not overspend, whether they needed the stuff, whether there was any other choice for the public officials, the elected officials in North Dakota, to do over the last 5 years. That's what this story is about. They had no other options. No other options. So I want to get back to why the budget was off, why so many things are off right now, is because we're using things that are outdated. sales tax is an outdated model. If the state of North Dakota is still projecting population by sales tax, you have got some bad leadership going on. Sean Kessel in North Dakota, or Sean Kessel, who's the new president of the Western Dakota Energy Association, and I've had this conversation, as have others, we need to start looking at a different model. Amazon changed everything. The Bakken, you cannot check population by sales tax anymore. It just doesn't work that way. Part of it, yes. But if you're actually projecting off of sales tax, then you don't understand how the internet works. And that is not true leadership. That's where we're at, right? That's why we're on Facebook. That's why we got a backup of a camera, because we have television stations interested in programming next year. That's why we've got three different ways to record this program, all on a shoestring, mind you, because there's not one way to get your information anymore. People go to Facebook for news.
It's very true.
And people go to Instagram for news. Sorry.
Jason, I want to give some context to what you're saying about the budget modeling for the state of North Dakota. Because when you say budget, you know, prediction modeling for state budgets, not everyone tends to get excited. But it's very important. It's integral not only to citizens in the state of North Dakota, but for those who are looking to bring businesses into the state of North Dakota. So at the end of my first legislative session, when I was in the State House of Representatives, we found out 2 weeks after the legislative session that the budget was off by over $1 billion in its projection. And part of that is what you're talking about, outdated budget modeling. We need to update our system to make sure that people and industries in our state can predict how much revenue is going to be there, what kind of resources are going to be there, and quality of life measures that make companies want to settle here in the state of North Dakota.
You want to go check if we can go into overtime? Because we'll go right out there. We'll bring it out. Sorry, folks, we're getting booted out. We're in a back room at a coffee shop
here. In the coffee confines of Atomic Coffee in downtown Fargo, North Dakota. You should stop on by sometime.
With the great with the weekly Bakken get together, are they
motion?
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to push a little pause. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this topic. But what I want to talk about is where the political line is. It used to be Jamestown. I think now it's Valley City, and if you go east, that's what kind of my understanding is the political power in the state. I want to talk to Ben about that.
But it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be. That's what we're trying to say, is that it shouldn't be that way, because this is where all the people are. Then we know how to reach them. Mm-hmm. We know how to reach them and educate them, because trust me, they want to make money and they want to see this in. Farmers want to see the oil industry thrive, not just because they want cheap propane to dry their crops or cheap diesel to work in their fields. No, they want cheap polysynthetic things and all kinds of different plastics that are going to help them. So, tell you what, we're going to take a 5-minute break. We're going to come back, and we're going to continue the conversation with candidate for U.S. House, Ben Hansen. My name is Jason Spies. This is the weekly Bakken get-together. I get a little mixed up with the Great Minnesota get-together, which is their state fair. That's where I stole it from completely. The weekly Bakken get-together. We'll see you in a few. Okay, welcome back here to the weekly Bakken get-together. We're now out in the general area. Now we're talking with Ben Hansen, and we're just going to continue the conversation. Ben, what we were talking about was kind of the budgetary things on how the state was connected, some of the politicalness, the political power, if you will. I was always told when I was in college at North Dakota State, if you took a ruler and started in Jamestown and drew it north and south, colored it in east, that population had 60% of the vote, or over 50% of the vote for the rest of the state. Since NDSU has made some investments, gone Division I, a few other things have happened. My understanding is now Valley City, which is 45 minutes east, I'm sorry, which is even closer east. So we're talking like 45 minutes from the Minnesota border. If you take a ruler and draw a line, that population, for lack of better terms, controls the state.
And, well, I don't know if controls the state is quite right, but for lack of, like you said, lack of better terms, that's unfortunately the impression that's been given as something that needs
influence.
To be, it's something that needs to, you know, and even as a perception, because this whole state is tied into each other. We were talking before about our research facilities out here in the eastern part of the state. We have a huge tie in the energy industry into our agriculture products and exports. We have a rail industry that is intertwined very intimately with the energy and ag industries and exports. We need to make sure that we bridge that gap.
between even a perception of, you know, the state being divided against itself, because the Wall Street Journal article that you referenced there, I don't know if it's because I don't know who the reporter is, but maybe it's because it's an out-of-state reporter, but some of the elected officials in there saying that this is going to divvy up into geographic regions versus each other within our own state, that's not real leadership. We need to have a plan that's ready to help the whole state.
So let's just kind of summarize here. Ben has to get going. Appreciate the time that everybody's taken today to join us on our weekly Bakken get-together. Like I said, I will be out at the API Christmas party this weekend. It happens Saturday in Dickinson at the Grand Dakota Lodge. If you'd like to check it out, I'm sure you can probably still get a ticket or just go to the door. That is this Saturday, and I'm going to be talking to some people there about the East-West Bridge. I want the divide to get away. I don't want people to say, why should we send money out east? Why should we build roads out west? That stuff has to go away. In fact, it needs to be, how can we do this stuff together? Because I know a lot of Grand Forks companies that do pretty well out in the Bakken. Ben?
Well, I know a lot of Fargo companies that do pretty well out in the Bakken as well, and some people, and vice versa too. So housing's tied in, mental health services, a statewide, when you're looking at the Department of Health Services, with addiction treatment and counseling, with the spikes we see in the opioid epidemic here in the state of North Dakota, with the absolutely abhorrent increases we've seen in sex trafficking coming into our state that are largely a result of, you know, some new populations that have been, unfortunately, in some, you know, some people's bodies have been shipped in, that we need to counter and do everything we can on a multiple jurisdiction, a multiple government level, and it has to be all regions, if in the state of North Dakota, if not within the Midwest. We cannot afford to divide and separate ourselves out, because our safety is at risk and our economy is going to be at risk. Real leadership means us coming together for the whole state.
How can people contact you?
You can hop on hansen4nd.com. We have a landing page there. We'll be launching a full website very soon. And you can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter, just like everywhere else, where many of you are probably live streaming this right now. Just search Ben Hansen. I'm an S-O-N, because I'm a good Norwegian. And you can find me there. Not for Congress or anything, just Ben Hansen, and follow our journey all around the state.
And thank you again. Once again, this is the weekly Bakken get-together. My name is Jason Spies. This is exclusive for Bakken.com and the Shale Play Media, but we'd like for you to share it as much as you can. I'm, of course, with the Crude Life Media Network. We produce content for over 250,000 Facebook followers, over 30 radio stations, 20 different print publications on a consistent basis. Next week, hopefully, we're talking with Governor Burgum. He's going to be on the program in December, we'll say, talking about his predictions, as well as a few other people talk about hub cities and a few of the entrepreneurs out in the Bakken coming down the line. That's going to do it this week. Thank you, folks, and we'll catch you later.
Thanks for having me on, Jason.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And that was Ben Hansen, candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in the state of North Dakota. To listen to this podcast and other podcasts, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly Crude Life newsletter. We're also on social media. Please check out our Facebook and Twitter pages. All those links are available at our website, thecrudelife.com. Once again, I'd like to thank you very much for supporting our Crude Life Media Network sponsors. And if I could ask you one more time, just to go to our website, click on the sponsors page, take a look at our sponsors, see if there's anybody you know, see if there's anybody you might be able to do some business with. We would certainly appreciate it. We know they would absolutely love it. But in the big picture, what they do for us is they keep interviews like this free. Great information, great talent, great minds come right here to the Crude Life. They keep our lights on, they keep the information flowing, and we certainly thank our sponsors. I can hear it all. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
When you get to know Eric, and he is so willing to share with you how growing up, you know, his life was impacted by an outstanding mom and the challenges that he may be faced. When he's willing to open up and talk about those things, you're immediately drawn in. And that's that vulnerability that I think that he has publicly said, it's okay to be yourself. And it's okay for you to make mistakes. along the way.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
And that's it for this episode of the Crude Life Podcast. My name is Jason Spies, and once again, this is the Crude Life Podcast, generating positive energy. We'll see you next time, folks.
It's a cold draft laying low to the floor. Blankets on the couch trying to keep me warm. Well, that's just part of living here. Snow's falling, wind's starting to blow. Season's drifting up by my front door. Well, life slows down at a few below. You're walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know. I'm thinking, I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Hope my car stops when I go.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
It's a robber shining with a mocking sound. A frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Riding up the smiling faces of the people passing by. It's the Broadway shining with the marquee sign. Frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Small city, it's a big time life. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking with the people that I know. And I'm thinking, I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Hope my car stops when I go. Froze. I feel the wind chill down to my toes. Well, I'm glad I don't live too far away. Well, the moonlight shining on my walk home. I'm breathing in cold air, exhaling smoke. So quiet I can hear it all. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking with the people that I know. I'm thinking I'm drinking out.